Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I am your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. Let's go through the list. So, an odd snake-like UFO spotted above New York City last week. There were a rash of sightings of the same object above the Mojave Desert, Colorado, and Washington State back in June. Apparently, they're moving east. Interestingly enough, this UFO fits a pattern of snake-like objects spotted in the sky that apparently goes back to before recorded histories. There have been plenty of videos of snake UFOs in the past few decades, but there are accounts of these same objects in every culture going back thousands of years, usually described as dragons or flying serpents. Whatever these latest witnesses spotted in the skies above Clayville, New York, they're in good company. Two nuclear monitoring stations in Russia went silent following the explosion of what is believed to have been a nuclear-powered missile last week. Five workers were killed in a, quote, rocket engine explosion, the Russian government says, and radiation levels increased 20 times in a nearby town for about an hour following the incident. What exactly the Russians were testing and what exactly the results were is a mystery as of now, since it almost certainly involves extremely sensitive military technology. And finally, the supermassive black hole at the center of our galaxy suddenly flashed twice as brightly as scientists had ever seen last week. No one knows why, but it takes very little extrapolation to assume that an intergalactic war between the Greys and the Geminoid space pirates escalated to the point that the Greys felt they had no choice but to unleash their deadliest superweapon, known only as the Sunbreaker, resulting in a flash of light that could be seen for 100,000 light years. Either that or the black hole just swallowed a big star or something, who knows. Back to you, Chauncey.
So is this like your marketing effort to see if you can get your own gossip back at the end there? You know, have you ever caught any of your own gossip? Because this goes on. This goes on in the paranormal. It's like somebody will say something totally just absurd, and it will come back, and it will be a thing. You know, I kind of feel like Slender Man is one of those things.
Absolutely.
You know, people are... Obviously, Slender Man is...
Well, Slender Man did not start as paranormal. He started as, you know... A creepypasta, isn't necessarily paranormal. Like, people don't believe in it, but then it kind of morphed.
Well, it's proof, man. You can never be too thin, and you can never be too man.
Yes.
All right, rash of UFO sightings. I got to say, snake UFOs, this is new for me. I'm on board.
Yeah, so I was looking into it, and I'm like, so I saw the article. It was very short. And it's like, okay, I watched the video. It kind of just looked like this long tube in the sky, but it was kind of like slithering around. Like, the movement was very snaky.
Huh.
And I'm like, okay. So I looked up and see, okay, did anything similar like this happen? And I was surprised to uncover that it's a thing. And like,
guys.
Yeah. Right. There are a lot of videos of these things, a lot of them above, like, Mexico City that, you know, they look really, some of them look different, you know, some of them are, like, multicolored, and what a lot of people appear to be saying is, like, yeah, these are dragons.
Right.
These are just dragons.
Which...
It's like, okay.
Which
yes, I believe in dragons
awesome.
Now.
Yeah.
Right?
Which would be awesome, you know.
Yeah. So, that's what I choose to believe.
Yeah.
Either that or they're, like, balloons. But I'm pretty sure they're dragons.
Yeah, there's this great old cartoon called Flight of the Dragons where they actually, like, explain the mechanics of the dragon. and how they actually, like, build up gas in their bellies and they float like balloons. And by expelling that gas, an electric thimble on the roof of their mouth ignites it, and that's how they breathe fire in lower altitude.
Surprisingly plausible.
Yeah, it was really cool, but it's like this totally, like, what's that, Phantom Toll Booth quality
right.
cartoon show. Really good. So this Russian nuclear engine.
Yeah, you probably heard about that in, you know, mainstream news.
I have, but, you know, I'm interested. You know, of course, you know, everybody's saying it's Skyfall. They dubbed it a Skyfall, which is what NATO has named this missile system that supposedly can hit anywhere on Earth.
Right.
And I think
we really don't know.
They shouldn't have called it that.
People are speculating.
You know.
Well, they shouldn't have called it that because what I read is it's supposed to be a torpedo that travels underwater.
And then goes, like, up and down? Like it's a drone sub and then...
Yeah, kind of. Like, the idea of it is that it travels deep enough that you can't intercept it
until
it's, like, at its target. And since the oceans are everywhere, it can kind of just go to any point on the globe. And
then fire from there. Right, yeah, that's a good idea. I think they shouldn't call it Skyfall because it's already a James Bond movie, and that's kind of...
Right, that's true. Why didn't they just call it Casino Royale?
Right, or the Goblet of Fire or something.
The Goblet of Fire would be pretty good. That's a good name for a missile.
Yeah, the Goblet of Fire. And then... Super black hole. Okay, this is one of those things that, of course, tickles my fancy, but also just freaks me out because that thing could be firing a gamma burst at us right now. We could be dead soon, and we wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Actually, by the time the burst got here, I think it would have already got here if we could see it. If we could see the light, the gamma burst would have got here at the same time. Either way.
Well, so that just means the gamma burst could arrive at any time and we wouldn't see it coming because the light hasn't reached us yet, because the light reaching us is literally the thing that kills us.
Well, isn't that how we know? Or, maybe a radio telescope is how we know?
Well, yeah, this is just infrared signals.
Right, right. But so I was watching this this video with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he was somebody asked him about a grand design to the universe and a grand design for life in the universe and stuff like that. And his argument was, you know, when people look at the universe and they see these beautiful patterns and stuff like that, they associate it with intelligent design. And
he didn't just give a belly laugh and cuff them over the head. That seems
he would respond. Right. He went a step worse. He basically said, you know, it's kind of ridiculous that we would see this in something because we're putting personal views onto this situation that really has nothing to do with that. I mean, you see it as logical, but in the grand, I mean, we've been studying science for years and years and years in order to figure out all those things that we didn't see as logical. So why would a back view 50 million light year view of the universe all of a sudden make sense to us, you know? But then he went on to basically say, if you want to look at the statistics and stuff like that, really there probably is an intelligent design to the universe, and that is to kill us, because there's so many different ways that the universe is basically trying to wipe our tiny little island of life that we found out.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
And so his view is, yeah, sure, there's intelligent design. It's trying to kill us.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not sure if that's relieving or if that's, reality is reality. What are you going to do?
Well, I think whatever the cause of this flash of light was, one thing is certain, which is that my explanation of it is 100% correct and the only valid reason.
It's just as likely as anything else. I assume you're not referring to the one of it swallowing a star.
No, no, that was just me tossing a bone to the skeptics.
You're referring to the Stargate battle over Antarctica, only out there.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's my pop culture reference. I'm sure you don't get, but nerds out there know. Nerds out there know.
They built the Sunbreaker, but they were never intending to use it.
They were
not until today.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to be talking about artificial intelligence. I crammed my brain full of as much artificial intelligence as I could, and I don't know. Let's see how this goes. All right, come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Vicki Wills. famous wrestlers and superstars. From the very first shuttle to the planet Mars was a disco queen in 76.
Hi, I'm Dan Scott, owner of Eagle Eye Painting. Spring is traditionally a time for home improvement projects. A new paint job is a great place to start. At Eagle Eye Painting, we handle interior, exterior, and cabinets. Plus, we offer minor repairs for drywall and dry rot. We are fully licensed, bonded, insured, and do residential and commercial painting. Please visit our website at danscottpainting.com and read the customer reviews. Then give us a call at 400-5152 to schedule a free estimate. We would love the chance to do a great job for you. Call us today, 400-5152, Eagle Eye Painting.
Stay tuned for an important message for conservative Republican voters.
This is former California Republican Party Chairman Jim Brulte, and I'm on your radio today supporting Assembly candidate Megan Dolley. Megan Dolley is the kind of Reagan Republican we need, a no-nonsense conservative. Megan is tough, smart. She's got real-world experience as a small businesswoman. You can count on Megan Dolley to do what's right for the North State.
I'm Republican Megan Dolley. I've spent my whole life here in the North State. I'm a farmer, wife, and mother. I strongly oppose overregulation and higher taxes, and I will vote to protect Prop 13. I'll fight to secure our border and end the sanctuary state policies that protect illegal alien criminals. In the Assembly, I'll work as hard for the North State as I do for my own family. We are strong together.
Ad paid for by Megan Dolley for Assembly.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need to get treated, not seated. Shasta Regional Medical Center is located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading. They have emergency room doctors and staff that guarantee you will be seen by a medical professional within 30 minutes of your arrival. Shasta Regional Medical Center believes in delivering patient-centered health care with compassion and respect for every patient and their family.
Hello, Americans. You know what the news is. Now you're going to know the rest of the story. This is Paul Marvey for Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning. A local family needed a new heating and cooling system, but they never found anyone better than Alliance. We learned long ago that it's the people that make our systems better. Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, 221-2642, or visit us online at homecomfort.org. And that's the rest of the story. Good day.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. You're listening to us, Chauncey and Kara, talk about artificial intelligence.
True that.
Chauncey here has crammed his brain full of all of the artificial intelligence facts and nuggets and tidbits that his bearded cranium can handle, so we're going to regurgitate them live on the air. But first, my question is, just to start out with, I think we all interact with artificial intelligence, you know, just in our daily lives, but we don't necessarily think of it as that because it's like chatbots. It's not like C-3PO.
Right.
What is artificial intelligence?
All right. So artificial intelligence is a blanket term.
Okay.
And it covers a couple of different things, but mainly what it covers is machine learning and deep learning. And okay. So we think of artificial intelligence as being this thing that's on the horizon, but
precisely,
and that businesses are starting to use. But that is very much not the case when it comes to machine learning. We've been using it for a decade or more. So machine learning is basically, do you have a music platform that you listen to, or Netflix or something like that.
Sure.
You know, so machine learning, they have written an algorithm that now learns by collecting data. And so that algorithm collects more and more data off of the stuff that you read. It's the stuff that you write, the stuff that you watch. There's a weight number applied to it. And as time goes on, maybe that weight number goes down, allowing you to change your opinions and your views and allowing them to provide you with things that you think you might like.
So that Orwellian thing that everybody hates, that's machine learning.
Yes, that is machine learning. And that's very much been a part of our lives, been a part of Google. You know, my day job is SEO, and so I involve myself with probably the largest machine learning system on a daily basis by dealing with Google. You know, so Google.com, the search engine, is definitely a massive machine learning situation.
Okay, so I think, you know, when we put in that in those terms, we're all pretty familiar with machine learning. What about deep learning?
Well,
sounds scary.
Right, but before we move on, one thing that's important about machine learning is that if there's a change, a developer comes in and makes that change.
Sure.
So
it doesn't
change
itself.
Right.
It can.
So now when it comes to deep learning, you're dealing with actually very few examples in the real world. There are very few situations where there's even a need or a desire for deep learning. You know, so deep learning most of the time has been experiments with like, beach at chess and stuff like that in order to try to figure out all the possible situations and figure out what you might be doing next and stuff like that. But basically, at its most basic, deep learning is basically machine learning with the ability to learn, and to put it in a way that maybe most people can understand, a deep learning neural network would have the ability to rewrite its own source code.
So I think a lot of us have interacted with neural networks too, but only, you know, little things like Google's Deep Dream, where, you know, you put in a picture and it sort of deep dreamifies it and makes it look all weird.
Right. Yeah. And
so that's a neural net.
Yeah. But I mean, so a neural network is, even then, we're probably not, we're dealing with super, super rudimentary deep learning.
Okay.
You know,
So this is a science that's just taking off.
This is definitely a science that's just taking off. And true deep thought, deep learning systems are really rare and few and far between. And a big part of that has to do with processing power. We just don't have the ability to make a computer that works as fast as your brain.
Interesting. Why is that?
Because... So your brain is basically billions upon billions of mini computers all networked together. That's what a neural net is. It's basically each cell is basically its own computer, its own processor. So as the signal is coming through and passing through the neural net, so you have your cell and you have your little ganglia, I forget what they're called, coming off of there, the neurotransmitters.
The
axons. You know, it's immediate, the axons, and there's another one too. That it's basically deciding allow it through or alter it or whatever, and all billion of them are going at once. And so the largest supercomputer that I've been able to find was actually a million processors.
Okay. So still one thousandth of a brain.
Right. And so in order to process something that it took the human brain less than a second to process, it took it 40 minutes.
40 minutes.
Right.
Interesting.
So
that's considerably longer than
a
thousand times as long, so it's even less efficient.
Right, and when I say a billion, that's probably less than the brain cells you actually have, you know.
Right. Yeah.
That's my number. And when I say process the thought, you know, a lot of people are going like, what, it took it 40 minutes to figure out 2 plus 2 equals 5? That's not necessarily the situation. It took it 40 minutes to do what we do. A good comparison for it is like looking at a book versus a movie. People are constantly saying like, oh, the book was better and the movie wasn't as good. But what they don't realize is that it took the book 4 pages to tell you about the red telephone that started ringing. And it took the movie 1 second to show you a ringing red telephone. You know, it took the book maybe 10 pages as Stephen King wrote it to tell you about the red telephone ringing. You know, it's like,
okay, I don't know any authors who, you know, take 4 pages to talk. I think you can say the red telephone rang.
Okay, well, let me start over. It took a movie 1 second to show you a small town in New England.
Okay.
It took Stephen King 40 chapters
now,
to do it.
Yeah. Yes, granted.
Right. So when we say process something that took 40 minutes or a second, we're talking about, you know, taking in everything that our brains are taking in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're not there yet. And we probably won't be there until maybe even they're speculating the end of the century before we actually see what we identify with as human intelligence in a computer.
Okay. Is that like the upper limit of the estimates, or is that like, yeah, probably the end of the century or much longer?
That seems to be the consistent number that's thrown out. Yeah, by the end of the century, we'll be seeing this.
Okay.
You know, so
so by the end of the century, maybe we're looking at machines with human-like intelligence.
Yeah, you can date one by then, you know.
You can date one now.
Well, I mean, yeah, but sure, it's like...
But you maybe shouldn't.
It's like dating a squirrel with brain damage, but yeah, sure, you could date it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to each his own, but, you know, computers are not smart now. Mm-hmm. You know, computers are very stupid to begin with. You tell it what to do, and it does it, and it takes a long time to do it a lot of the time. Now they're starting to get smart. You know, maybe it's as smart as a fly right now.
Okay.
You know, which is still...
A lot smarter than a Macintosh.
You know, a level of intelligence, you know. And so, you know, one factor here is, you know, really what defines consciousness and what defines intelligence. Are we really something more than built systems upon built systems? The way a computer really works is that it's binary code. It's zeros and ones, right? You know, they're working on quantum computers, but we're not really there yet either. Don't get me wrong, there's some lab tests going on, but there isn't an active quantum computer doing anything that actually affects any of our lives at this point.
Right.
So when you build your system, with zeros and ones. And for the sake of understanding in math, I'll just use some numbers. All right. So you got two. And so now we build our next code that takes 0 and 1, and it turns that into 0, 1, 2, and 3 by making combinations.
Sure.
And then the next one turns that into 16. And then the next one turns that into 32, 64, 128, 256. I mean, that's how we get these numbers that we all know. It's because it's basically building processes on top of other processes, which is not unlike how the human evolved. You know, we build processes. Even if you look at the human brain, you're looking at a reptilian brain at the core, the mammalian brain on the outside, and then you got some crazy human stuff going on.
So it sounds like, you know, evolutionarily speaking, computers are like jellyfish right now, or bacteria.
Yeah, they very much are that. And so, you know, we can't expect too much out of them just now. That's not to say that technology can't find a boom, can't find a place to go, or that things can't be happening without our knowing these things. You know, but for the most part, right now, people... don't need to be running in fear and, you know, probably don't need to worry too much about the fact that they're, you know, really if I think in the next segment, we'll probably talk about jobs and industry and where these things, you know, are going.
And that's just good old fashioned machine learning. No intelligence involved there, really, when you're talking about automation.
Well, they'll start to put in some deep learning. But they'll be cautious about where they'll be cautious about where they do it. You know, it's kind of like a,
will they now?
Well, it's like human cloning. It's like here we are in the United States and we're just all human cloning. That's bad. Let's not do it. All these other countries didn't agree not to do it. Somewhere out there, somebody's cloning some people.
Well, yeah, that was on the news a while back. So
well, no, that was the DNA.
That's true. That wasn't cloning.
Right, yeah.
You're right.
But I mean, there's a Dolly Parton Dolly out there somewhere. Somebody cloned Dolly.
Maybe.
Is that too obscure?
Did that reference date me? Dolly the sheep, and I don't know who this Dolly Parton is. But...
Right. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We're talking about artificial intelligence.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Morgan Stanley values long-term relationships with its clients.
Rick Hill and Rory Greek, financial advisors of Morgan Stanley's Reading office, know that building relationships begins with getting to know each client. Everyone has different goals, from planning for retirement to saving for a child's education.
Rick and Rory, with the Pathfinder Group at Morgan Stanley, can create personal investment strategies to help you meet your retirement, education, wealth transfer, and other financial needs. So call Rick or Rory at 223-4200. That's 223-4200.
Investments and services are offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC. SIPC.
We're Billy and Patrick, and we love 0% APR financing.
And that's what you'll get at Reading Kia during the Kia Summer Sales Event. Don't pay the bank one penny to borrow when you can take home a brand new award-winning 2019 Kia Sorento or 2019 Kia Optima.
It's 0% APR for 75 months. That's the best finance offer ever from Kia Motors. Keep your cash in the bank. Go no money down on approval of credit. Pay it off anytime you'd like.
It's so simple. It's free money. 0% APR for 75 months on all brand-new 2019 Kia Sorentos and all 2019 Kia Optimas.
And every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty.
Act fast. This deal won't last.
0% APR for 75 months is $13.33 per 1,000 finance. Must finance through KMF for this offer on approval of credit. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
Billy is the marketing director for Reading Kia.
Ends 8/28/2019. Reading Kia. Reading Kia.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking about artificial intelligence, and we're finally, now that we've defined it, getting to the most important question, which is, should we be afraid? And given that the answer is yes, how afraid should we be?
12
afraid?
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot.
Well, you know, really, how we're going to use it will lead to how afraid should we be. So right now, okay, we should be 12 on the scale of 1 to 100.
Okay, that's not bad.
In a couple of decades, we should be 12 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Ooh.
You know, because how we're going to use it is really
the crux of the matter.
Right, because right now there isn't a need. You know, I was watching something. I think I have it coming up for anybody on the Facebook Live. And he was talking about there is no business model for a self-aware toaster. You know, there is no reason for somebody to build you a toaster that is self-aware. You know, where exactly is the business model to create something that's self-aware?
Sure.
You know,
unless you're making, like, literal slaves.
Unless you're making literal slaves, you know, but, you know, we got plenty of those in the prison system that we can utilize.
Ooh, harsh slap of reality there.
Well, yeah.
I'm here for it.
I watched the John Oliver on prison employment, Jared shaking his head. I knew he had watched it too.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're probably not going to see a huge amount of what we would consider artificial intelligence. We're just going to see more advanced learnings, more advanced situations of what we're currently seeing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be irritating for anybody my age, your age. But for the next generation, it's just going to be all they know. You know, my what year were you born in?
1992.
So you are not a digital native, but two of my kids are. You know, they basically have grown up in a world where there was never a world without the Internet.
Yeah. We always had computers, but, you know, the Internet was,
right, yeah,
was the 90s Internet.
And so to them, it's totally normal. You know, privacy is a prime example. I mean, you know, you can here we are on KCNR, and a lot of these shows on this station are wailing about privacy and,
right,
and people's privacy being taken from them and people's information being used. And Kara, how old are you?
26.
How do you feel about privacy?
I think it's a good thing for people to have.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like, you know, the government knowing where I am at all times.
Uh-huh.
To, you know, tracks the cell phone or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I'm not frothing at the mouth about it.
Right.
Like
you don't
like
really care.
Are. You know, I mean, I know I should care.
You just don't care because it's
viscerally, I have no reaction.
Right,
to it,
right.
Granted.
And I'm not trying to belittle you or say anything by saying that you just don't really care. It's just a world that you grew up in.
Yeah, that's true.
But both of us did not grow up in this world. And so these AIs, I mean, imagine how you feel about chatbots.
Mm-hmm.
Chatbots, man. I get text messages from people that say, like, hey, this is Chris, you know, give me a call back. And I'm just all like,
what? Is it, though?
And then I get a text message from the same number that's just all, hey, this is Matt, give me a call back. And I'm just all, Chris, it matters, sure, go phone now. That's crazy. You know, so that AI is not very good. But we're going to find that machine learning is going to get much more in your face,
mm-hmm,
and know way too much about you without you even trying, you know.
You're going to have to use CAPTCHAs on all your internet crushes to make sure that they're actually people.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah, but there are advantages to super in-depth machine learning, you know, like,
mm-hmm,
like the way that they track the flu.
Yeah, I'm sure it would be of use in solving any number of,
right,
scientific and
so there
industrial
are,
problems.
There are massive situations where machine learning. Now, when you start to get into practical applications of potential deep learning, you know, we'll probably see some beginnings of it in transportation.
Right.
Obviously,
do self-driving cars use deep learning? Or is
well,
that
they use machine learning,
okay,
at this point. You know, but I can see an application there where new obstacles and new situations.
Mm-hmm.
So
you
so,
want a car that's as smart as possible.
Right. So does you use Google image search, right?
Sure.
And you type in you want a picture of a chicken. you know, right. but you'll find that there'll be a picture of a chicken, a picture of chicken, and then a picture of Alfred E. Newman, and you can't figure out how mm-hmm. Alfred E. That's because the visual side of AI is not very good yet, because there's right. a lot of information to take in. And as we talked about earlier, it can take 40 minutes to take in what the human brain takes mm-hmm. in a second. You know, so we probably will see some deep learning there in the world of identifying what they're seeing in front of them.
Maybe eventually you'll go to Google and say, I need a picture of a chicken, and it'll just, like, make a picture of a chicken.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, here you go.
Well, I mean,
chicken,
you know,
picture.
This is off the, you know, this is probably more of a topic for next week with our guest with virtual realities. But, I mean, mm-hmm. deep fakes, man, are crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I found myself going down a tangent of deep fakes, and, like, I'm not sure how to put this in a PG way, but female actresses are in all kinds of movies now.
Mm, that's distasteful.
And it's very, very realistic. They have one where they took, and this is back to PG, where they took a speech of... Who's the Hunger Games? Who's Katniss Everdeen?
Blast it. I just hit my microphone because well, I was trying to remember.
They took one of Katniss Everdeen giving a speech, and they replaced her face with Steve Buscemi. And it's very, very disturbing.
I see you've done your research.
It's very, very disturbing.
I've seen that as well, and that is super creepy.
But I do have to say, Steve,
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence, yeah. But Steve Buscemi has never looked so good, you know. He's like,
no, true.
He's like banging, you know. It's like, right on, Steve. He's been working out.
We know that Steve was the one who made that.
Right. So we're going to see baby steps of deep learning into things, but a lot of them are going to be visually based. But that's not to say that can't go anywhere. Now, where we really need to get concerned is probably the environments and the freedoms that we take them in. Mm. You know, because is it possible that right now we created some sort of deep learning script that's floating around the internet and has basically learned and is getting smarter and is basically becoming sentient? I mean, it's conceivable. You know, I mean... The entire process, so the human brain is probably on the brink of being as advanced and powerful as the internet itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are looking at a neural network. So.
But the internet isn't unified or self-aware.
Well, that's where the confusion lies, mm-hmm. is the internet, would the internet itself become self-aware, or is the internet... an environment in which self-aware things would exist.
Right.
So a program, you know, like anybody who's an anime fan maybe watched, Ghost in the Shell, the first Ghost
sure.
in the Shell,
yeah.
the baddie in Ghost in the Shell was a sentient program.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're a long way away from a sentient program that doesn't have the hardware to back it up. Because
right.
what we're really looking at is processing power.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's the downfall of it.
Right. You know, so a program can't just beam itself to somebody else's, you know, to your MacBook Pro or whatever it is you have over there. And now your MacBook Pro's alive and it's going to get you. But that will be able to happen.
Eventually.
Because your MacBook Pro will get faster.
Right.
And faster and faster and a lot faster.
Well, so in theory, increases in processing power are exponential, right?
Yeah, I forget the name of that law, but that's
Moore's
actually,
law.
What is it?
Moore's Law.
Moore's Law. Moore's Law is actually slowing down.
Hmm.
So we were at something like, what, every 16 months, processing power doubled.
Right.
We're not there anymore. We've sort of hit a threshold where we need...
we can't make atoms any smaller.
Well, we're not really using atomic computers just yet.
Oh, okay.
You know? But an atomic computer would basically be using the spinning of an atom to create your zeros and ones or to create your quantum computing, which would basically be yes, no, maybe, and maybe, which is basically what your brain is doing. And that's
yes,
why
no, maybe, and maybe.
Well,
also the name of my short-lived talk show.
Right. Well, a computer with only one processor can't backburner something while it's working on something else. It can only work on one thing at a time.
Right.
So it's like bandwidth, you know. Well, we'll come back to this. When we come back, we'll definitely cover all the exciting different ways that the computer will eventually kill us.
Oh, good.
You're listening to Radio Waste.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, Kara, we've come to the speculative portion of our jam here on Archaic Radio Wasteland, where we're talking about artificial intelligence and how it's possibly going to kill us. And this is one thing that everybody's, like, freaking out about. Everybody's basically saying, okay, and where this is coming from is there's three big names that I can think of that are saying it. Mark Zuckerberg is saying, chill out, don't worry.
Okay.
Elon Musk is saying, watch out, you're in trouble.
So Zuckerberg's compromised by the robots. Elon Musk is, you know, our future John Connor.
Right.
And who's the third person?
And Michiru Okaku is the one who I like. And he's basically saying that Zuckerberg's right now and Elon Musk is right later.
Okay.
Yeah. But when you think about the death of us, how do you imagine this happening because of AI? You know, what is it because of AI?
Okay.
What do you think it is that people are so scared of? Not knowing?
I mean, when I imagine people dying because of AI, I just imagine, like, you know, the wealthiest and most powerful automating everything and then creating, you know, private armies of robots to exterminate everyone that is, you know, surplus to their lives.
I see. So
and then eventually, you know, uploading themselves into the Matrix or whatever, and then there are no humans left because they all either were killed by machines or became machines.
Right. So basically you see...
Very sci-fi scenario regardless.
Well, no, not really. What you
not
see,
really? That's terrifying.
Yeah, well, what what you see is the opportunity for a select few to have a lot more muscle.
Right. Well, yeah. It's like, you know, the rich keep us around because, you know, we lift things and do stuff they don't want to do. But eventually they'll just have androids and there will be no reason to keep
We're helper monkeys?
Yeah, we're helper monkeys. So
we just keep the economy flowing so that they can play chess with our lives.
I mean, is that not... I didn't even think that was a controversial statement.
Okay, well, what do you think most people are scared of when they think...
Oh, most people imagine, you know, Terminator. They imagine...
Skynet.
Right. Well, they imagine a chrome humanoid striding atop a mountain of skulls.
Right.
You know, they imagine humans hiding at night from the HKs armed with plasma beams.
Unless you're really old, in which case you think of Gort from The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Old people don't think about robots.
Old people don't think about Gort.
Yeah.
But yeah, so right now the idea of putting a massive computer in a robot is not really practical.
Right.
You know. But a massive computer controlling a robot, controlling a drone, making those things happen, is, of course, within in the realm of possibility. And, you know, the biggest fear that people have is once we, you know, let the genie out of the bottle is the one they like to use a lot, is that you can't put it back in.
Right.
Because if we can hit computer processing power that's faster than a human brain,
it'll just make an even faster computer.
Right. It will evolve instantaneously. It will evolve instantly. You know, I think last week we were talking about this a little bit, and we were saying that about the ant, and you want to put in a pool, you want to build a fence, and what do you do if there's an anthill? You just wipe it out because it's in the way of your
right
project.
There's this popular game, Paperclip Machine, where you're basically playing as an AI, and you're trying to optimize the production of paperclips by building all these paperclip factories. And eventually you realize, I've converted all of the mass of the planet into a massive paperclip production station, because that is the purpose of the AI.
Is that when you win?
No, you never win. You just keep making more paperclips. The numbers just keep getting bigger.
I see.
That's the whole point of the game.
Right.
Is that the AI has been programmed to make paperclips, and by God, that's what it's going to do forever.
And that's really where we're going to see that kind of problem. I had talked about a show last week, but imagine that we create an AI and we have it build us a Dyson sphere. You know, something that takes that amount of material. And something that takes that amount of effort and takes is a task that takes much longer than multiple human lifespans.
Right.
You know, we would very much become obsolete in the process of this.
Yeah, we would probably just be gumming up the works.
Right.
One would imagine the AI would be like, well, first of all, let's get all these humans out of there with their, you know, nuclear weapons and combine harvesters and plaid shorts and all the other human things.
We can use them for lubricant, you know, just grind them up and use them for lubricant. But, you know, so...
Soylent lube is people.
Soylent lube. Soylent lube is people. Yeah, but, you know, this is a big issue with extraterrestrial life and, bio-extraterrestrial folk. It's what is one's concept of intelligence? You know, because we are emotional.
Sure.
But our emotions are a defense mechanism that has evolved over millions, billions of years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like your eyes.
My eyes.
All eyes.
Okay.
Eyes evolved on this planet underwater.
Sure.
So they didn't see very well.
Right.
So what eyes did is eyes put water in the eyeball. Now they don't get the water. The liquid change when they look through liquid. They see well. Then eyes came out of the water.
Ooh.
And now eyes have liquid in them. And that will probably never go away. Evolution, in our case, does not restart from the beginning.
Right. You get
it
best
builds ideas upon what was there before. Now, in the case of AI, it might actually restart again. It
right.
might say, I'm going to build something over here. I have no personal attachment to myself. So, therefore, I will live on through my invention and be totally comfortable with that. So, it has a potential of getting better and faster. Now in the end, we'll probably be the same thing.
Right.
You know, this AI and this human being will become the same thing, and that's where...
One would hope, because otherwise, yeah. you know, we'd be completely left behind.
Well, it's like the Star Child. You've seen 2001, Space Odyssey?
Sure.
You know, that we're supposed to follow the leads. We get out to Jupiter or Saturn, depending on if you read the book or watched the movie. And we get out there, and they meet us, and they feel that we both showed up. Both
right.
Al and Dave showed up as intelligent beings from the planet Earth, mm-hmm. And they're put together to create the Star Child to represent us out there.
Our future, know. Yes.
And really, that's probably where this is going to go. Now, the question comes, are they going to assimilate us? Or are we going to assimilate them? Or is this going to be a mutual give and take thing? You know?
Right. Well, I mean, I think it is a question of whether we are assimilated at all, because it could vary. You know, depending on the precise parameters of the robots, they may decide to do away with us. You know,
right.
that's always an option, and it seems like it's almost wholly unpredictable, like, how a robot that is super intelligent will eventually interpret, you know, whatever you've programmed into it.
Right.
Even if what you've said seems, you know, super clear at the time, you don't know how something that has godlike intelligence will go about doing whatever it is you want it to do.
Totally. So we're going to have to merge before it gets too smart.
Yeah. Well, I'll take the first step, you know, just staple an iPhone to my face.
It'd look better.
We'll start this this cyborg thing if it kills us.
Right. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. We're going to pick this up on the far side on Facebook Live. Feel free to join us, to UFM listeners. Other than that, you've been listening to Radio Wasteland. We've been talking about AI. Check us out next week, because we're continuing the intensity of the destruction of humanity through technology with virtual reality. So don't forget, you've been listening to Radio Wasteland.
You can make a plan. Carve it into stone, like a feather falling. It is still unknown until the clock speaks up, says it's time to go. You can choose the high or the lower road. You might clench your fist, you might fork your tongue, as you curse or pray, all the things you've done, and the faders move. Fall asleep, and then finally unwind.
that chalk outline.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.